Thank you for joining another episode of Secure AF Podcast. I am your host, Donovan Farrow. I'm joined today by my homie over here, Jonathan Kimmett.
Hello.
All right. So today we had a few interesting topic ideas for the week. And what we've come to find out is we get asked all the time kind of how to become a pen tester. And I think you kind of get a mix of answers on that because it can be a deep topic depending on who you're asking. So Kim and I are going to go kind of from the bottom to the top. We're going to teach you guys how to be the best elite hacksaw on the planet. And I just kind of want to step out and say, before I became an elite hacker, which I'm not, but it's funny to say, I definitely do some pen testing, self-proclaimed hacker. I actually started mowing a lawn, right? Started mowing lawns. And then I built a computer with said lawn money. And that was kind of when I actually started. Because I learned how to build a computer, and kind of as I kind of grew up through the ranks, that to help desk, to desktop support, to systems engineer, to network technician, to network engineer. So I'm giving all these, I've had a lot of jobs here all the way to CEO, if you will. So network. And then I went to a security, then forensics. And that was kind of how I started doing pen testing. Is it's not that I was like, knew how to like, I'm not a coder. So for the record, everyone, I'm not a coder at all. So thank you, everyone, for donating your free code to GitHub. I frequently like and download all your stuff. So appreciate that. So kind of my background is it's not starting at security. It's me being a bad admin. It's kind of how I started. Like if I was like, you know, for example, you probably did a lot of technician stuff.
Yep.
Like, I personally was doing a full backup and patching on a server that was like 4 hour drive away at nighttime, of course. And I just turned that shit off. I was like, oh my God, I shut down a whole plant because I took down their domain controller.
Oh,
because I was doing remote desktop and I was late and I thought it was my machine and it was the server.
Oh, bad day.
Yeah. So in that world, I was like, well, I'm going to be fired or I could figure out how to do this. So I was like, oh my God, I don't even know. And then I was like, oh, ILO boards. This is kind of back in the day. I still have some of those still. I figured out what that was. I was able to get in that and have someone read me a tag. So I where the tag was, because all the ILO boards, they even back then, they have a tag on it. And that's actually where the password is, default is.
Right.
But you got to physically be there. So I called the technician to get me the password so I could remote in to turn the machine back on.
You social engineered a technician to give you the password.
Well, he said the internet was down. I was like, yes, the internet is down. I need you to read me a code. I don't know what happened. Please, let's get this working back together. Thank you. And so from that horrible experience, when I was going on a pen test, if we were doing a physical, what I would do, I would go and get the default creds because they're typically never changed. There's some right. obnoxious password. So that way we were able to physical that I was able to plug in and then remote into the server and get admin access through the ILO board. Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, I always like to talk about the hacking. So that's kind of what hacking is. I like to talk to people. Everyone wants to start testing.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be red teamer. I get it. It's sexy. It's cool. It's the color red, I guess. You know, I'm kind of a blue teamer myself. But so there's some instances that you've kind of had in your background, you've learned and kind of used that in even the red teaming or even like your blue team side. How does that kind of impact from your experience?
Well, I'll tell you what started me in this route of security, kind of sort of, was actually spy movies. You know, Sweet. Growing up watching James Bond, watching A Bourne Identity, you know, watching all these movies where these guys were, guys and gals are going out and doing this really cool stuff. And how is that happening? And the hacking involved in that. And of course, the Hackers movie, all those years ago.
Yeah. Then the internet, when they were flying through the internet.
Oh, yes. Yes. They're flying through in between the buildings.
That's right.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really what the internet looks like, by the way, for you guys who don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check out the movie.
Inside the computer, you know. So it was those sorts of things that, you know, I looked at and, you know, it was fascinating to me. But I came up through the help desk ranks. So I was, you know, help desk supervisor and kind of grew into the help desk support. But it was always in the back of my mind that, you know, I watched all this stuff happening. It's like, well, how would I stop that?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, those sayings, it's really fascinating to me because you take something like the Hackers movie, even I still asked all of my staff at my previous location to go watch the Hackers movie and actually pull out all the current tactics that they were doing back in the 90s.
Yeah.
It still works.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And so I was thinking about that. I was doing help desk, you know, and every time I'd run into a problem, it's like, huh, I can't get into this computer. Someone's forgotten the password.
Yeah.
Well, go hit the internet. Let's figure out how to reset it. You know,
right.
I was doing it. I remember this one story. The internal auditor came in one day and she was asking about security and all this other stuff. And I really didn't know a whole lot. By the time she wanted me to demonstrate how insecure computers were.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm not the person to do that at the time. Again, I was help desk. But I took it in the back. We set up a computer. It's like, okay, this computer is as secure as I can make it. It has a padlock on it. It has a BIOS password on it. You know, it's got a password on the operating system. It's everything that I could do to make this secure.
Yeah.
And I handed her a stopwatch. And I said, all right, tell me when to go. Click. I picked the lock. I got into the motherboard. I reset the BIOS with a little jumper.
Oh, did you do the jump? Yes.
Yep. I just popped the jumper. I reset the BIOS. I logged in. I reset the BIOS to allow booting to a floppy disk.
There you go.
I booted a floppy disk from the Nordahl password cracker or the password reset. I reset the admin password. I logged in. It was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, whatever it was, and I'm in the machine. Now, she has completely forgotten about the stopwatch at this point because she was like, what do we do? She's like,
yeah, she's probably more impressed. After he did that with the rest of the story, was he started moonwalking just back and forth, looking her straight in the eyes because he just won everything. So he always forgets that part of the story. So,
yeah, no, I can't dance. But she looked at me. She goes, what do we do? I was like, well, first of all, if you have physical access to the box, you can own it. You can own that box.
Yeah.
So we have to prevent physical access. So what we were talking about at the time is making sure the things were locked up with good locks, locked the doors, make sure you have cameras on and computer labs and whatever, so you don't have physical boxes taken away. Because at the time, the biggest risk was a box gets stolen. Information on that box was, you know, because we weren't encrypting, you know, we didn't have BitLocker and things like that all those years ago.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of what got into it. And then I started doing computer security through incident response team. And that was even worse because then you start seeing, you know, all the things, bad things that were happening every day. It's like, okay, well, how do we prevent this?
And that's, and again, if you guys, so Kimmett was coming from a super like blue team, even desktop support. If you guys didn't catch those roles, and I just want to put that out to the audiences. I mean, you talk about help desk stuff or even lower sysadmin. What I was talking about is, it's not that we like, oh, we'll just be hackers. It's like, oh, we have to fix stuff because we're the blue team. We're the taking care of our customers.
Yep.
And then you just add a little twist to it. And that's kind of where there's pen testers that a lot of guys get in security. They download Kali. They download exploit, run exploit, execute, whatever.
Yeah.
And those do work. Not going to lie. Yep. But once they do an exploit, they get a shell or they get a command prompt and they're just like,
right,
cool, owned.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, so what do you do now? They're like, I don't know. You're like owned, bro. So we had a hacker, a pen tester when I worked for another company that showed me the same thing. They were like, yeah, so we had access to your machine. I was like, okay, so what'd you do? They're like, oh no, we owned it. I was like, well, you didn't own it. You just gained access.
You got it.
They're like, yeah, we exploited it. I was like, but you didn't do anything. You don't even have an account. And they're like, well, I mean, the vulnerability, I'm like, yeah, I know it's critical, but you didn't do it. I mean, is that where you stop? And they're like, oh, so that's the difference between, I don't even know, I feel like I should make up a new term, like a thin tester to a pen tester. I don't know. I need like a pencil tester.
I like that. Thin tester.
Thin tester. See, I just made that up.
There you go. I like that.
Hashtag thin tester.
Yeah, we didn't plan this, by the way. This is all off the cuff. I really like that, thin tester.
Yeah, we actually, which is kind of funny, you'll realize in this podcast is, Kim and I are actually really busy and we literally sat down for like 30 seconds. And I was like, what are we talking about today? I said, I don't know. But this was a topic that came up. People asked about it. So thin tester, there you go. Boom.
I like that.
But it is, and I'm just kind of echoing that because I feel like a lot of people are really even nervous and scared to get in security or even the red team is, man, start at the help desk, you know, start at a SOC. That stuff is super important. And I'll give one other cool exploit that still works today. We used it about a month ago. Is a ransomware actor reset a domain password and we couldn't get into the DNC and the DC, and they just didn't have access. So we used the sticky key exploit. If you guys look that up, we were able to reset the password to get into the machine. And again, that's a blue team help using red team tactic to regain access to a server that had been compromised. So,
and that happens a lot. You know, my my hacker tool show and tell that I do, everything that I show from a blue team perspective, you know, like a keylogger.
Yeah.
Keylogger is a very common tactic. You get to that, you get physical access, you put the keylogger in, you plug the keyboard in, you get your passwords from that. Well, there are times that I've had to do that as a CISO in an organization, whether maybe we were going to terminate someone or whatever. So we put the keylogger in for, you know, a couple of days before they were terminated.
Oh, that's pretty gangster. I didn't know.
I can tell you right now.
You had CISO approval, I would assume.
I had general counsel.
Oh, there you go.
So, but all
seek general counsel. Did you guys hear that? Yes, let's pause it.
General counsel.
Don't you dare do that. General counsel says yes, then you can do that. Sorry, Jonathan. That was a warning sign. Proceed with your malicious behavior of stealing passwords.
But the reality is, as a blue team, you have to protect the organization.
Yep.
And if I need a password to a system that I'm not able to get because they don't have it in password manager, you know, I've got to be creative. I got to protect the organization. So there are tools and tactics that you can use. Now, it's a tool. The keylogger is a tool.
Yeah.
In fact, my very first keylogger that I bought back in 96. It was a PS2 keylogger that I bought from Switzerland, I believe.
Haven't heard the word PS2 in a minute. Thank you.
Yes. I still have it. It's in my kit.
Really?
Yeah. It's in my car right now. Nice. But it's they sold it as a backup writer's tool. So if you're a writer, you would plug this in your keyboard. You would write all your stuff. If your computer crashed, you could always go back and get all your key logs. So that's what they sold it as. Now, of course, we use it as a keylogger for, you know, capturing malicious, you know, passwords and stuff. But
I mean, I use it to back up my writings. I don't know.
There you go.
That's a malicious tactic. Yes. I would never think to use such a tool in that manner.
Right.
That's pretty genius.
But it's, you know, it was a legitimate tool.
Yeah.
Maybe people use it for bad purposes. Okay, fine.
That's
but
technologies.
Exactly. So, but all these tools have a function on the blue team side.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. Now, going back to what you're saying earlier about the thin tester versus pen tester, one of the things that I really like, when you have somebody that comes up through the ranks and goes into pen testing after they were help desk or networking or systems or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the difference between someone who knows how to do something and someone that knows why to do it. And when you come up with some experience, you know, you have a reason in your head of why you need to deploy a tactic or a process.
Right.
So you go learn how to do that. So if you need to have a backup, use a keylogger or whatever, you know, how versus why. A lot of times people come in, they have the how, but they don't have the why. Just like you were talking about earlier, where they were able to get into the box.
Yep.
They owned you. Why? You know, what did they do when they were in there?
Right.
They had the how, they didn't have the why. And I think from experience, you start getting the why.
Yeah.
You either get the why first and go and learn it, or you know, through time and effort, you go, oh, that's why we do this.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the big brain click is like you said, the why, or even like the, like I did this because of a historical thing and I was able to gain access. Even when they, you know, they were, had access to the box, if they knew how to use even just command, they could have made themselves a local admin.
Right.
You know, net user. They could have done that.
Right. Right.
They could have made that, but they didn't. So I'm just saying, whatever. Yeah. Not owned.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. If they get into that box, they might be looking for passwords.txt. Mm-hmm. They might be looking for hashes. They might be all these normal things. But how often do you, if, you know, in the help desk all those years ago, I would sit down in a box and I would find Excel spreadsheets, you know, it says personal. And I'd go and look and there's all their passwords and stuff.
Yeah.
Because people do that or they used to do that. And so when I'm on a box and I get in, and I'm not a hacker, I know how to do a lot of this stuff, but I get in, I start looking at based on what I used to see all those years ago.
Yeah.
And if I see personal, it's like, well, double click, open up and see what they have.
What's in the directory? Oh, passwords.txt, export, thank you. But, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, exactly.
And even, I'll even give you guys another example is, again, coming back in the ranks, probably finishing at a pen tester and then in the leadership. But I'll give you guys even a generic example. I have just generic access to a machine. I'm going to export a SAM file, because in forensics, we have to use those SAM files for different investigations or passwords for other people. You export SAM, hit a little password cracker on the SAM, boom, you got full access depending on what they have access to. You probably have multiple accounts in a domain, because they probably don't have the look. If they do have the look, you can get it. They probably have the 81, and those passwords are probably the same.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's just doing forensics, but we utilize that in pen testing to help gain further access in an environment.
Right. Absolutely.
Nice. Well, kind of going forward is, if someone is kind of at that point, another question we get asked is, how many years do I need to be in IT before I can make the move? What experience do I need to have? I know these are kind of like very long, probably long answers. It depends. I'll jump ahead of that. But in your opinion, like what skill set would you recommend if they did get an IT? How many years would you recommend they were like, you know, SOC for 4 years? Or should, is it desktop? Can they go to SOC? What would be your recommendation on how to move in that direction?
I would say it depends on where they're starting from. And here's the example. I believe IT security, cybersecurity, however you want to describe the industry that we're in, it is not entry level. But that doesn't mean you can't go into a help desk job or a SOC job or a NOC job or an ITOC job.
Yeah.
With a mindset of security. So if you were just coming out of a help desk job, I think personally that you should have 3 to 5 years experience before you walk into a security job. Because that 3 to 5 years, that really builds a foundation of IT, IT help desk, working with users, you know, all the different things. It also gives you some experience in networking, some experience in system administration and all these things. But let's say you come out of a school, you've got some security background, maybe you did your Sec Plus, maybe your CEH, whatever you may have done. So you already have a mindset, you just don't have the experience. You might be able to go into a help desk job for 2 years, because here's the difference. While you're at that help desk job, you're learning.
Yeah.
You're also thinking, oh, that's why they taught us that in my Sec Plus course. So you're constantly implementing the things that you learned in that security training in the help desk job. So I think that if you did it that way, it's still important to go get that background.
Yeah.
Go be networking for a couple of years. Go be help desk for a couple of years. You know, pick one. Because, I mean, I think those are both backgrounds for different things in security. But if you're coming in blind, you don't have any security background.
Yeah.
Probably that 3, 4, 5 years will give you that background, that foundation of, oh.
Even if I'm top 1%, try hack me. Just trolling.
That is, no, and those are great skill sets.
Yep.
I think that's great, but that doesn't mean you understand anything about computers. That's one of the things that I have a good friend who I interact with a lot, and he was teaching a pen test course. The same time I was teaching a blue team course at B-Sides back 5, 6 years ago.
Nice.
And they had a computer problem. And he's standing there and goes, I don't know how to fix this. I mean,
right,
he,
yeah.
You know, he couldn't get the computer connected. It wasn't the computer to connect to the screen. It was somewhere on the screen. But he didn't know how to fix it. That's not his job.
Yep.
He was a pen tester. He knows how to break stuff. He didn't know how to fix stuff.
Right.
And what he said flat out, he goes, I don't know anything about Windows. I know how to crack them. I know how to pop in, you know, get into them, but I don't know how to fix them. I don't know how the operating system works other than how to break them.
Yeah.
And that really, you know, kind of hit home for me, because it's like, oh, well, I mean, he's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
But he's really upfront. He's like, listen, I'm not the tech support of my family. You know, they don't call me to fix Windows.
Yeah.
So it is, you can go and learn to be a pen tester. But again, it's that why are you doing it this way? Now, I think that if you are in a help desk job and you're doing the try hack me, or you're going through the OSCP labs, or if you're doing ES, great. You're learning. You are learning why. Yeah. I'll tell you this. First time I show CIOs or CEOs or CFOs how a brute force password attack works, they immediately realize why changing passwords are useful. I understand the whole NIST things about not changing password. I understand all that.
Yeah.
Trust me. But when I show you how we gather passwords and how we use it to brute force an account, everyone's like, oh, That's why I don't reuse passwords. That's why I change my passwords regularly.
I thought it was just to keep security employed and just annoy the entire staff is really what it's for.
Well, there's that too.
And it's in the policy.
It's in the policy.
It's in the policy.
It's in the policy. But when you're going through the Try Hack Me and you're in help desk, a lot of the tactics that you're going to see, you're going to go, oh, that's why we have host-based firewalls. That's why we turn them on. That's why we do this thing. Again, it comes down to that why.
Yep.
And that was not the intent of, you know, our conversation was to focus on the why officially.
Yeah.
But it really is. It's why are you doing this? And the more skills you have in security and in IT and in networking and system administration, it tells you why those things are important.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. And kind of, you know, my background with that stuff is, you know, it's just kind of learning over time and knowledge. Again, great pen testers have great knowledge in different verticals inside technology. Again, I kind of rattled off. I wasn't joking. Those were almost all of my titles as I kind of moved up and I learned each and every piece and, you know, still using stuff, you know, from at the help desk or desktop support in security kind of blinds people. And I was going to give you guys another example. I was on a pen test and I think they were just trying to like, I don't know, set me up to fail because sometimes they don't really want a pen test is what I really feel like.
They don't want the results.
Yeah, they don't want the results. So they're like, yeah, man, just you go in this room and just you plug in and just you can start the pen test. I was like, okay, cool. And it was like a red team.
Yeah.
It was for a bank. So I was very, very sus of that anyway. And all the jacks, it's not even like the network jacks, like it wasn't like I couldn't authenticate. It's like they were clearly like not plugged in the switch. Yeah. Like, you know that they went in and unplugged from the switch. And I was like, okay. I said, well, hey, can you guys hook up the switch, please, and plug these things in?
Get me on the network.
And they were like, oh, no, that's our what's the 802.1? It's the block. It's a NAP.
Oh, 802.1X, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is not, no, there's no fire, man. Like, and the reason why, if you guys know when I say there's no fire, when I hook it up, even if there's a NAC involved, there's fire, right? Yeah. You'll have an indicator. And I know that from working in troubleshooting, you know, just network from a desktop or being a network engineer is that they were trying to pull one over on me, which is fine. Great. And they totally declined it.
Yeah.
It wasn't true, Donovan. You don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know how to plug in a RJ45. You know, I was a little frustrated and I was like, well, this is stupid. They said, well, just put it in the report that you just couldn't gain access. I was like, okay. So I was like, this is dumb. So I'm just sitting there looking around. I was like, this is stupid, man. They unplug everything in this room. So I'm bored now. I'm like, whatever. So I'm just going through drawers and stuff now. And I pull a drawer and this little Polycom slips out. And I'm like, oh, hello, Mr. Polycom speaker. So I'm like, interesting. Okay. So I pull it out and it's behind, like, it's like a built-in cabinet. And I pull in the network. So I kind of like slip my laptop in there and I plug it in. And I get fire, which is cool. When I said fire, there's, you know, the network indicators, activity and connection, right? So I get a connection. And they actually, what I did realize is when I did connect, they did have a NAC. So they said it was NACs protected, but I think they were playing, just trying to mess with me. So they NAC'd it. And I was like, okay, well played. So, right. So in that, and just in that realm, first of all, my curiosity, my, I wonder what's going on over here. I'm really just telling you how to be a pen tester right now. I wonder how this works. That's interesting. I wonder if I can do this. And as I'm going through these steps, I'm gaining a little more traction. And then we can get the part where, again, I'll say even touching all the way to the Try Hack Me. So I fire up Kali and I'm like, I got you. I bet this is Mac filtered. So I took the Mac address of the phone and put it on my computer. And then I gained access and just blew their whole world apart because at the time it was just funny. I really think they just didn't want me to, you know, I was supposed to put in, I was unable to gain access, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I gave this full report. So
that's really funny. But, you know, that goes into, let me ask you something, because that leads into a very specific question / test for pen testers.
Yeah.
When you are talking to someone and you're trying to determine if they could be a good pen tester. So it's not even talking about the history or their background or skill sets.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I had always heard, and I've used it myself, is the how many different ways can you turn off lights or turn off light? So the way this works is, so you've got someone coming in who wants to be a pen tester, maybe they're entry level, maybe, you know, whatever. and you go, okay, what, you know, I want you to imagine you're in a room. I want you to tell me how many different ways you could turn off the light in the room.
Yes.
Most people probably can come up with 5, 6, or 7 different ways.
Yeah.
A medium level pen tester could come up with, let's say, 15 to 20 different ways.
Yeah.
A real advanced 50. And that's the question. So yeah. if I were to ask you, what are some different ways that you could actually turn off a light?
My brain already just went like, I was like, oh yeah. All right. Cause I'm like, man, so let's see here. You know, I'm going to go super deep. So, you know, I'm going to go ransomware the electric company, but let's start there. Let's start the source. Let's talk about cutting wires. Let's talk about the switch. Let's disable that. Let's just bust the light out. You know,
exactly.
Yeah,
that is the whole point. Most people say, okay, we're going to flip the switch off. Okay, well then cut the power to the building and this and that.
What a great interview question.
It is.
It's
a puzzle.
Yeah.
Because you're trying, a lot of times in pen testing, you're trying to figure out the puzzle. Well, you just did to figure out the Polycom. It was a puzzle.
Yeah.
So you ask these questions. Now, I'm not saying go and ask this particular question because it's a fairly old
or ransomware question. A energy company, for the record.
Right. Yeah. Please don't
this
do that.
All in the metaverse.
Yes,
talking here, humans.
Don't do that. But, you know, it's a good way of just trying to figure out, you know, can you think outside the box?
Yeah.
You know, can you think about, okay, what are all the pieces that we need to do? One of the things that I've always found most interesting is when I ask that question, people think about all those different things. Mm-hmm. One thing they don't ever think about is, why don't you just call somebody and have them turn the switch off? You social engineer them.
I, you know, that almost made me think of ransomware as a service.
You should.
Like someone already had got access to the light, so I'll buy access from them.
Nice. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Have someone else do it. Social engineer, I like that.
Yeah.
Huh. Nice. Sweet. Well, I was going to have one other thing on this topic is kind of going through. I'm going to go with experience, certifications, or degree. Where do you go from that perspective? You like that? Because I get that question. You get that question a lot too, right?
Oh, I do.
What certifications do I need, Donovan, to get into pen testing? Oh. What degree do I need to have? What's the background I need to have? So where do you fall? I know I know it. Where do you fall for the audience?
Oh, that's really hard.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked it to you, so I can just relax for a little bit.
So here, I have to qualify this because I worked in higher ed for 20 some odd years. I'm not going to qualify. Here's what I think. I never put anybody down who wants to learn.
Yep.
If they want to learn through a degree program, that's great. Go for it. If you want to learn through certifications, great. Go do it. If you want to do on the job apprenticeship, absolutely go for it. I think every single one of those is a valid way to learn knowledge, skills, and abilities.
Yeah.
I think that for cybersecurity historically, because it's coming in from people who are IT or networking or system administration or policies and procedures, whatever, they have been a lot of people have been very successful at going and getting training and certifications to jump into that field because they've got background. They may even know how some of it, but they don't have that minimum layer. They don't have the jargon. They don't have the terminology. They don't have a framework.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Perfect. I think a lot of people have been very successful at going and getting a degree in something. I think a degree program, for me personally, a degree program is about being very consistent, very structured, and being very disciplined.
Yeah.
And going and doing that and learning over a long period of time, you know, those 4 years. But in IT security, 4-year-old information is 100-year-old information in other programs or in other industries.
Yeah.
Because you're learning so much so fast. So even if you have a degree and you go get a degree in our industry, my advice to you is you need to still be training every year. You need to be training. You need to be doing conferences. You need to be going, getting certifications. One of the things that I required for my staff previously is they had to do one major training a year and get the certification with that training. Nice. Now I paid for it, right. Or the organization paid for it. But my philosophy is I need them learning all the time, always growing, because they have to stay on top of what this organization or what the the industry is doing. So I think, yes, you can get, you can be successful with all of those. If I've got somebody who is already in the industry, they're already in an IT industry.
Yeah.
I think it's probably faster for them to go do training and certifications because they've got that foundation of IT and they can learn, they can pick up those pieces very quickly. If they don't have that background, maybe a degree program is good for them because they start building that structure, that discipline. Then they come out, they get an entry-level job for a help desk for 2 years and go do some training and build it. So that's, I don't like it when people say, certifications suck, you don't need them, the CEH is crap, and this is, because I think if someone is learning and growing and getting better and finding tidbits of that, that's a good thing. There is value there.
Right, and that was the adult answer that he gave there. I was literally just setting up to see if I could get like you guys to get upset and flame him on Twitter for his position, but he took the neutral candidate position.
Oh, absolutely, I did. So I know better.
And honestly, that's actually the answer is if you're learning, it doesn't matter. People ask me all the time. I got a degree finally after I was in the industry for 16 years. Mm-hmm. I got a degree in organizational leadership, absolutely nothing to do with computers. So yep. It wasn't for me. I did feel like, cause I was like, you have to get a degree for some promotion that I never got, but that's another topic. But I did go back and I got a degree because I was a really hardcore engineer. I say 16, it could be less, maybe 10 years. I had a really hard time talking to humans is what I like to say. Mm-hmm. Hated talking to humans. And part of that class was for me to just walk on campus. I had to get like three people around me. I had to talk about, this new like chair that I made and how awesome it is. And it was pretty terrifying. Hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. And then here I am now doing like anywhere from 60 to 80 presentations a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... but I was learning and it makes me a good communicator, which in engineering, you guys are all pretty terrible at it. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
No one didn't tell you that you are.
Well, the reality is no one goes in IT because they like working with people. Mm-hmm. They like working with computers. That's why they go in IT.
And if a computer start acting up, man, just boom.
Yep.
So format you.
Yep.
Give me attitude out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of something that I think that we forget the full reach for some of that stuff, is to, we'll stop that for a second. Was it your Amber Alerts?
Yeah.
You guys letting the government be in charge of your phone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Look at that. It's nothing, baby. It doesn't come up.
Okay.
I disabled it.
Fair enough.
I'm terrible. Well, I'll clap here in a second. The reason why I did that shit scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
When it's so
late. The night. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Woof. All right. Where was I even talking about? What before I that happened? Do anyone remember?
I think we just leave that in there because that's all part of real life. We were talking about the communication and learning and how that structure.
Because it is tough. I mean, communication is really tough. And I'll even say that, bless his heart, the gentleman who takes care of most of our reports is, he has helped adapt us and make us way more agile and teach the team on how to be more accurate, more grammatically correct. Writing is a big process. I tell people all the time, you can have the cure for cancer, but if you don't know how to tell people that, no one's going to buy your shit and no one's going to understand you.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem, I think, in IT. And I know a lot of the college has been talking about soft skill classes and stuff like that. And I've been as involved as I can with a big college here. And this may be news to you, is I was complaining because they want to know my opinion. So I complained.
Sure. Yeah.
And I said, when these guys graduate, I was like, the technology's gone. It may not even exist.
Right.
And I said, what you guys need to do is you guys need to have like a semester, a full year, their last year senior shirt, but it needs to be a new technology class.
I like that.
It's a full class of here's what's out. Here's the new code.
Here's what it is currently.
Here's the new version. Here's what it means to you. Yep. And their heads exploded.
Yeah.
They were like, that's genius. I was like, yeah, you can't just jump in. I said, I'm not trying to be, and this is my own opinion. I would 100% never hire someone who had a degree jump in as a pen tester. Absolutely not.
No.
I would, but they think that's what it is, right? They're like, Donovan, I have a master's in cybersecurity. I was like, shit, I don't have any. I have a degree in organizational leadership. Yeah. Do you know more about pen testing than me? And they're like, no, sir, sorry. And it's not to be mean. It's just on, I'll give you the flip side. This person has a whole bunch of certifications. Cool. Did you just memorize that and take a test? I wouldn't make you a pen tester.
Right.
However, though, if someone had like 6 to 7 years in IT and they're like, I want to be a pen tester, I'd be like, okay, let's get you there. Because then all it is at that point, it's still the knowledge gap still there. It's a flip of a switch.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm a bad admin.
Right. Right.
It's flipping that switch. And again, I love your answer. It is the neutral, but it is the right answer. If someone just developing and that's how they learn, I'll tell you this. And for me, man, I was horrible at college. Matter of fact, in high school, man, which I didn't even tell this part of the story, in high school, my teachers disliked me a lot because I was the biggest troublemaker ever. I hated school. They hated me. It was a mutual relationship. And I knew so much about technology. One of my favorite parts was, and bless her heart, she let me know after her 25-year career at the time, I got awarded the most days of detention. And sometimes she'd come in, she'd be like, Dom, just get out. Just get the shit. I'm having the shit today. Get out. I don't want it. And I'm like, I can just leave. She's like, yes. So then I would go to the computer lab and work on the computers. Right. So school was very tough for me. College, I super failed out initially because of Diablo 2, throwing that out there. Okay. And other things. But made all F's and I just didn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just had to do something and went to the VoTech, did some VoTech thing. I actually got some, you know, which people may not care about these certificates, like Oklahoma Certificate of Microcomputer Repair. It was a start. And from there.
Well, yeah. So one of the things is when I came back from the Border Patrol, I went back part-time at the university just as something to do.
Yeah. You know?
And I was looking through classes, you know, as a university and whatever. And I saw this class that was Intro to Computers or something.
Yeah.
Now, I was fairly decent at computers at the time. And I took I was looking at that class and I made the comments like, oh, that's an easy A. You know, I could take that class. You know, I was very cocky, college kid, college graduate.
Yeah.
I was pretty cocky. And one of the guys that was there, his name was Roger. And he chewed into me. And he goes, you know, I don't even remember exactly what he said, but he's basically saying that, don't be that way because you can always learn something from it.
Yeah.
And here's a perfect example. A lot of people rag on CEA, Certified Ethical Hacker.
Right.
And in the middle of my OSCP training I was going through, I had failed the test the first time.
Like everybody does, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard test. Yeah. 24 hours. And I know why I failed it and you know, whatever. But as I was going through it, you lose confidence, you know, it's like, crap, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not ever going to be a pen tester, by the way, but I wanted to learn the skills. And so I was doing the class and I failed the test and I was, you know, kind of really down. So I decided to go take the CEH more or less cold, not quite cold, but you know, I got the book and I was going through there and I'll be damned. I learned stuff from the CEH, from the book that I was going through, the gold book, that I wish I had known on the OSCP.
Wow.
There was nuggets of information in there I wish I would have known. So I have, after what Roger told me, you know, I've kind of like, okay, you know, that whole idea that I can't learn something from the class is stupid.
Yeah.
You need to go in with your glass empty, try to get as much as you can from it and get value from it so that you can turn around and use that information, that knowledge, those skill sets into your job. So, I really get irritated at people saying, don't go learn something. You don't need this. That's not useful. Cause maybe it is useful to them.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, so I going back to your college, you know, you're talking about college and learning about, learning how to communicate and deal with people.
Yep.
I was on a CISO panel with some great CISOs from around Oklahoma. We were at, here in Oklahoma City at one of the conferences and somebody in the back says, how do I get better at talking in front of people, specifically the board and whatever. So again, these are, you know, I was very honored to be invited to that panel because this was years ago and I didn't really feel like I should have been on that panel as we were going down the line and they were talking about, oh, well, go to Toastmasters, you know, go learn to do that.
Yeah.
And one person said, well, you need to practice in front of the mirror. And one person says, oh, well, you need to, you know, get your family together and do this presentation. And I'm looking at them, it's like, that's great. Now everyone's looking at me, the whole audience in the panel, because I was at the end and I'm looking and it's like,
it's your turn.
I took an acting class.
Oh, okay.
And I did in college. I took an acting class.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of looked at me like, the hell's wrong with you? And I said, okay, well, let me break it down to you.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert. I'm kind of like you. I speak a lot. I'm out in front of a lot of people. But when I'm doing that, I am being the CISO.
Right.
That's my role. That's, yep. And so in the acting class, you learn how to become that persona, how to become that person. And when I'm doing that, my wife and I, you know, we have this joke about me lacing up my boots when I need to go be the CISO, because you change your posture, you're something.
Yeah.
So I become that person so I can get out there in front of 800 people. I can go and talk to them and whatever. Now, I'll tell you, after it's done, man, I just want, it's like, okay, we're done for the day. Like, you know, yesterday we had an event.
Yeah.
That as the drive home or the drive back to the hotel.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. It sucks the energy out if you're an introvert. Like I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I could do, and you're probably speaking the choir here. I could work like computer work, man, anything like that, where I'm doing a pen test or IR or forensics. I could do that stuff forever. Not and just eat and have a good time. But talking to humans, man,
yeah,
it zaps me.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, it zaps me. But that's just something you got to power through, right? It is.
Yeah. But the reason why I do it is I like helping people.
Yeah,
I like when I can say something to someone. I liked it last night when one of the people that came in and they said, you know what? I took your privacy class back a couple of years ago at B-Sides, and that really helped my organization. To me, that was the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
It was because that was valuable to them.
Yeah.
So that is why I do that. So I become that CISO. I learned how to create that persona, to be the CISO, to get out in front of people, to engage with them and talk to them. But I did that because I took that acting class. And so Gordon, you know, one of the CISOs around, you know, and he turned to me, he goes, I always wondered what was wrong with you. And we just laughed. And but I mean, what he said was, yeah, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
So I have told people in the past, if you have a real hard time talking in front of people, go to take an acting class, and they will teach you how to become that persona, that character you need to be in that situation.
Yeah. And then I'll hook that into kind of finishing up here. And then we'll have to have another full thing about social engineering.
Yes.
Because that's the other side of a pen tester that people don't really fully grasp is part of it. Even a lot of vishing we do over the phone. Also, even sending a phishing email out, like, how do you entice people? What techniques can you use? What kind of communication tools can you use at your possession? Don't you have to be super technically at all?
Yep.
And you can compromise a whole organization with an email or a phone call.
Yeah.
So kind of having the wrap-ups here, any last kind of follow-ups you want to say for people, again, wanting to become a pen tester, like, you know, that background, kind of some closing arguments?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I encourage people to do is they've got to have that foundation. But you also go and talk to people. Go to the conferences, engage people, go find pen testers and go ask them questions. Come to you know, catch you at a conference and say, hey, I'm really interested in your success and what you've done. Can you tell me more about it? Now everyone has, you know, lots of meetings and whatever, so sometimes that's hard, but I will always try to make time when people come up and ask me questions, you know, especially new people coming into the industry. I love helping people. I love working with people. And if I can help them not fall into those holes or not fall into that waste of time or do the wrong thing, then absolutely, let's help. We need more people in the industry. Let's help them. So go ask questions of people.
Yeah. And then kind of closing up here, I would say that this industry is actually a very community industry.
Yeah.
I know probably Kim and myself, if you ever message us on LinkedIn or hit us up in the email, we're going to respond.
Yeah.
Not be immediately, because we are, but we're going to have a response. I respond to everyone who's inquired. I even had a few meetings because people just want to know me, my career.
Yep.
Even 15-minute phone call just to catch up, introduce myself. And at the conventions, please go to conventions. You have to. You want to get in the industry? That's the easiest way. And it's the best way to get into it, because you learn what you need to learn.
Yes.
And you can really focus in on that.
Yep. Yeah. You get around, you be part of the industry. If you want to be part of the industry, you have to be part of the industry, and that's conferences, that's meetings, that's people, that's engagement. that's the secret, is be part of the industry.
Yeah. And then, well said there. Well, that kind of wraps up our episode today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, don't forget to like and subscribe all the channels that we're on. Thanks for joining myself, Donovan Farrow, and Kimmett on Secure AF Podcast.